Lord, I thank you for the word you've put on Melissa's heart. I thank you for her faithfulness. Lord, I thank you. We just got to show up and you do the rest. And so, Lord, by your power of spirit this morning, speak through Melissa. And Lord, as only you can do, soften our hearts and open our minds. Help us to be active in that. Help us to just have open hearts and open minds to what you may be wanting to say to us this morning, what you may want us to come into agreement with this morning, to see your power just released in this place, in our lives, in our community. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. My sermon's a bit different today than normal, just because I think I want it to be really... I try really hard to be authentic, but I think today's just next leveling it a bit for me. I know that our band is really, really good on most weeks. I would say every week. Today they did the perfect picture for me for my sermon. And I don't know about you, but you don't often hear a band make a mistake with playing different things. And so Nye's going to be dying right now. But they were playing a different chord to each other and it sounded awful. Were you there? You remember, right? We just waited and they fixed it and they kept going. Sometimes in our lives, we're in that looking around going, it's just awful. It's just awful. I don't know what's going wrong. Like, poor Nye's going, I don't know. Gary's going, I don't know. Nate's looking, going, what on earth is going on there? And it got there. Like, it got there in the end. And I think that's the end result of what I want you to hear of the message today. Sometimes we get in a mess, but God will get us there. It'll right itself in the end. So, yeah, you don't even need to listen to the rest of my message because that's the whole thing. There was a time in my life that God taught me a very, very valuable lesson about who he is. And that was when I was 17. I don't share very often about this, and I should, because it was a pivotal time for me in that I was so confused and I felt like the whole world was pressing in from every side of me. And it was really, really difficult for me to even exist. It was hard. Everything was hard. I'd moved out of home earlier than probably I should have because I found it very difficult. And I was living at 17 in my own rental. So I was having to make things work financially. That was really tricky. Responsibility-wise, I had to be responsible for my house. When things went bump in the night, there was no one else to hide with because I was it. And so I had to go investigate the scary things myself. And I was really struggling to do my HSC and to keep it a good headspace and not let my thoughts overwhelm me with everything just was felt like it was just crashing in on me. And I felt like I was trying to push the walls out, but at the same time, I felt like I was being suffocated. Anyone been in that, like, taking your breath away time where you're trapped? There's nothing you can do. And it was at that time that I started connecting. I always went to church, but I really started to wonder, well, if I can't do my life, maybe I need to trust God with it because I can't do it. And it's then that I committed my life to Jesus, well, again, but for the first time as almost an adult, very seriously. And God kept bringing ways to me to show me that there was hope. And one of those ways was songs. And I found this song called God Will Make a Way Where There Seems to Be No Way. He works in ways we cannot see. He will make a way for me. And that's an old song now. There's plenty of songs today that say the same thing with different music. So, you know, just find the songs and sing them. So I took that song on as my song because I could not find a way out. I had no idea what to do in every way. I couldn't work out how on earth I was going to get through year 12. I couldn't work out how on earth I was going to make my finances work. I couldn't work out how, it was really tricky. And God showed me a way. Just if I just clung to that day, if I just did the study that day, if I just got through the next exam, if I just did that, then God would show me a way. And so That song, I used to ride my bike just to clear my head. So I'd just ride out middle of nowhere, 10 or 20 kilometres, just go. And in Kempsey, it's like lots of farmland near where I live. So I used to go down and I'd sing. And these days I know that sound carries. So I was the crazy singing chick on the bike, singing my heart out the whole way along. God will make a way the whole way. I'm sure they could hear me coming. And that was awesome. If you've ever been in a mirror maze, I've only done it once because I didn't like it, and you go through the maze and then it looks like a dead end, so you don't want to go down there, but when you get down there, they realise that there's actually a doorway in another direction. That's really quite, it's disconcerting, I know. But dead ends seem to be a way out, and God does it sometimes. Sometimes we look and we go, there's no way that's going to be an opportunity. There's no way that that's going to be something that's going to work in my life. And then when you start walking that way, you take that next step, you'll find that the door has opened up into something that's just incredible. I think that's a word for us today. Don't put our ideas on what we think life should be like as what's supposed to happen. Because just maybe God has something better. Just maybe God has something better for your life. Just maybe God has something better for your family. Just maybe God has something better for this church than what we think should happen. Just maybe we need to trust Him that He's going to bring something more, something better, some great opportunities that we don't know that He does. He really does. Okay, there's on your seat a piece of paper. It's my points for today. It's only 3 points and they're fairly basic, and you guys have already talked and shared testimonies about them today. So if you haven't heard them in the stories, I'm going to say them as clear as I can, and hopefully we'll go out of here going, you know what, I'm going to do my life this way now because it's going to work better than the way I want to do it, which is being in control, and being in control doesn't always work. Okay. So the first one is, trust me, I know that. Today we're looking in Isaiah 43, and we're only looking in a really, really small part of it, because when you read the whole chapter, there's so much in there, that you could preach on. You don't want me to preach for more than just a little bit, so we're just doing a little bit. And it's a small snippet of a story of God's faithfulness to His people. And it's not just a story of His faithfulness, but a story of reminding them of His faithfulness. So it just happens over and over again. And these guys were in a really big mess. They were been taken away, they're in exile, and they needed a miracle. And they were looking around going, oh, I don't know what to do. The way home is so far. You have to go through desert. We're going to die. Like, it's just too hard. I don't know what's going on in your life today, but I know that these things will help you. It might even change the trajectory of your life if you just put them into practice. And the first one is, we need to know who God is. Sometimes we reduce God down to a vending machine. You know, God, please, can I? And wait for it to stuff to come out. God's so much more than that. He's the creator of the universe. He's the beginning and the end. Before there was God. Forevermore, there will be God. We can't even comprehend how huge, amazing, and big and powerful God is. And the more we know who God is, the more we realize that we don't know who God is. Because He's so big. Like, as soon as you think you've got Him in a box, you haven't looked hard enough. Right? So keep looking. And one of the names for God in the Bible, the Hebrew word was Yahweh, and they used that word quite a lot. It was like who God was, and they stopped using it for a while, and Jehovah kind of comes close, or the word Lord for us these days. But it means I am. And it's God just describing Himself as, well, I am. I always was. I always will be. I am all powerful. He doesn't need us, but He wants a relationship with us. He's unchanging. He's with us, He's trustworthy, and He's holy. They're just a few things of who He is. He chooses to love and want a relationship with you. He chooses to love you. He loves you. It's who He is. He's love. He wants a relationship with you. And one of his names is Yahweh. Isaiah 43:15 says, I am the Lord, or I am Yahweh, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. So we need to remember that God is God. We're not. God is God. He's our protector, our deliverer, our hiding place. He's Lord over all and in all. And in the Bible, Isaiah, the guy that wrote the book Isaiah, he wrote and he was reminding the Israelites about the time that their parents and grandparents went through the Red Sea. The waters went back, they walked through on dry ground. And it was at the time that they were trapped. They had the Egyptian army racing behind them and they had a sea in front of them. There's a couple of million people, the Israelites were standing there and they just go, well, you know, the people you don't like, I guess, could be at the back. They're the ones going to get killed first. I thought that was funny. So, thanks. And they were trapped in every way. And what had happened was the Pharaoh had said to them, go, fine. Like the plagues had happened, the Pharaoh said, go. And then he realized he didn't really want to lose his labor force because of millions of people that were slaves for the Egyptians that were doing this work for them, building bricks and whatever else. And so they came after him. And it was at that time that they're stuck at this Red Sea. And God put a cloud between them and the army. So he made it that they couldn't even be seen. Okay, he protected them. And then he pulled back the sea so that they could walk past on dry ground. And here in Isaiah, God is saying, remember what happened. I rescued you in the past. I did this. I am God. I'm Yahweh. I will make a way for you. And I don't know about you, but and I know that I don't actually have an army after me and a sea in front of me, but sometimes my circumstances can feel like that I have no way out. And sometimes I feel like that I can't go forward because that's going to be bad news. And if I go back this way, that's even worse news. And which way do I go? And God's saying today, I've got a way out for you. I will make a way for you. Because he's God. He's Yahweh. Number two, we need to remember what God has done in the past. Gary's message is so good last week, but coming home, how coming home is so important. And when we know that, we know it governs our attitudes and who we are. When we know where home is and that we belong there. Oh, it's so good. We need to remember what God has done. How do we know how good home is? We've got to make ourselves open to it. Because if your experience of home before now hasn't been great, how do we know it's going to be good to come to? So we need to remember the good things. If we think about it, many of the things that we're standing in today are answered prayers. I prayed once for a husband. He's mostly wonderful. Socks on the floor. But why would I complain about my answer to prayer? It's my answer. I prayed for kids. I prayed for opportunities. I prayed for lots of things. I prayed for it and God brought it. And if we think about it, you've prayed for stuff. You've asked God for things in the past. He's given them to you. And then those blessings kind of, in a way, sometimes become a bit of a burden. Oh. Yeah, sorry. I agree. What blessings has God given to you? If a while ago, if I had have told you that you would have been sitting in a church on a Sunday morning listening to a sermon, you would have said, no way. Anyone there? Yeah, no way. Remember the way he led you so far. It may have been bumpy and difficult. But we can remember the times when God has spoken direction. He's given comfort. He's granted courage and strengthened us to pull us through those times. I just wonder for a moment, if you just indulge me, close your eyes and just think through where God came through in the past for you. You got something? Yeah. Something God did that you would have said no way about. For some of you, it's the fact that your family's in church with you. For some of you, it's a physical illness that God's healed you from. Or an addiction that you thought you would never overcome. For some, God provided something. You didn't know how you're going to come up with it. You didn't know how you were going to do it. But God dropped it off for you on time. He made a way where there was no way. You got something? Yeah. Yeah, you can open your eyes. But how we forget, don't we? We forget. We forget. Be careful that we're not standing in something that we prayed for and we complain about it today. Isaiah 43:18 says, "But forget all that. It is nothing compared to what I am going to do." Now, all those things in the past that God has done for us are great. We thank God for them. But they are nothing compared to what God is going to do. You want to receive that today? Everything God's done so far for you are nothing compared to what he's going to do. I'm a little bit excited about that. Anyone else excited about that? There's so much more. I haven't convinced you enough. There's so much more for you. There's so much more. No longer would these children of Israel have to go off the stories of their youth where God delivered their ancestors, their grandparents, the exodus of Egypt. They were going to experience something for themselves. And God's going to do that for us as well. He has so much more. There are things that we need to trust God for today. It might be financial or physical. And we all need to cling to God at some point. You might be having a cruisy time in your life. That's okay. Actually, I'm happy for you. If your life's going really great, your finances are fantastic, physically you're strong as, in every way it's going really great, that is really awesome. But it's not going to be like that forever. There's going to be tough times because we're human. We live in a broken world. Things get tough. And God wants to use the tough times to help us to hold on to him instead of onto what we have. There are things we need to trust God for today. Because God will make a way. We have an enemy that will say, no way, you can't do that. But God says, I have a way. We're trusting in him. Okay, number three, we need to trust God for our future. So we need to know who God is. We need to remember what he's done in the past. And we need to trust God for our future. Pretty easy, right? You can remember these. We need to trust God for our future. Now, be very careful not to get your judgy pants on and judge people's tough times as something they've done wrong. Because sometimes we can tend to do that and say, oh, well, that's their own fault. And sometimes we do have to live the consequences of our really stupid decisions. Like, that's true. But sometimes people get into situations that are tough and it's been they've been following God the entire way. He's just brought them into a tough place. And that's okay. It's not easy, but it's okay. Isaiah 43:2 says, when you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. When you pass through the waters, you can't go over it, can't go over it, can't go around it. Gotta go through it. I will be with you. They will not sweep over you. It doesn't say that God will make a path around it, and it doesn't even say that if you go through the waters. It says, when? I don't want when. When's hard. But it's going to happen. So we need to actually set ourselves up and prepare ourselves for when it happens. When? How did the Israelites get through the Red Sea? They did what God said. They kept moving, one foot in front of the other. Sometimes doing the right thing gets messy. But there's no need to set up camp in the middle of the water. Because it's not going to be forever. He has a new thing for us. I want you also to know that the relationships that may have helped you through the last season may not be the relationships God wants you to have for the next season. Because sometimes we want to put our trust and our confidence and our support system in people instead of in who should have it. And it's easy to talk about how great the miracles were on the other side. It's really hard talking about how great the miracles are when you're waiting for them. Anyone find that easy? I don't. I try. God's going to do something. Come on, God, you better do something. God's going to do something. Isaiah 43:19 says, watch for the new thing I'm going to do. It is happening already. Can you see it now? That's the eyes I want to have. The seeing now eyes. I will make a road in the wilderness and give you streams of water there. There are things in our lives that are messy, and every single person sitting on your row has a mess in their life. Just want to clear that up for you. All the people you thought were perfect people are just really good at hiding the messes in their life. We all have a mess. Does that make you feel a bit better? We all have a mess, but the mess is the way to the miracle. Because if we didn't have the mess, we wouldn't be wanting the miracle. Okay, I want the miracle. God, I've got a mess. Anyone with me? You got a mess? I've got a mess. I need a miracle. I need God, Yahweh, to make a way in the miracle. Now, I've got testimonies. I've got open doors. I've got opportunities. I'm seeing God work, but I'm still waiting. And I'm clinging on to God in the waiting for Him to do the miracle. And I know here today there are people that are in a mess. And it might be a physical mess. It might be an addiction mess. It might be a financial mess. It might be in a relational mess. It might be an own mind mess. There's messes all over the place. And we just need to go to God and say, God, here's my mess. I just want to exchange that for the miracle. If you've got a mess today, you're in the right place. Okay, let's make the place messy because we're waiting for the miracle. Waiting for the miracle. When the devil says no way, there's no way you're ever going to do what you're going to do, we're going to say, we've got God, we've got Yahweh. We have Yahweh. When the devil says no way, we're going to say, we have Yahweh. That's right. Yahweh, that's right. The band want to come up. What are you standing in front of today? What are you standing in front of today? It's okay to be real at church, right? It's okay to have emotion. It's okay to cry. It's okay to be, let it all hang out. That's okay because we're family. And half of us know anyway. Because we care about you. And we love you. And we know your story. So there's no reason to hide. There's no reason to hide from God. There's no reason to try and keep it all bunched together. Because God sees you. He knows you. He's in your mess with you. This year's been a really, really tough year for me. Really tough. And I have found myself questioning God more than I ever have before. And I think what has happened through that, through the running to God and saying, God, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. God has given me experiences and opportunities I never would have guessed, never would have dreamed of having. And God's opened things in my life that have just brought me so much hope and solace of who He is. And that I can trust Him. And my trust doesn't need to be in people or organizations or what I think needs to happen. But I trust God. And I've found for me, worship has been my place that I've just rested in God. And if you don't normally worship, I encourage you to try it today. If you do worship, I encourage you to join me. Because it's in the worship that we come before the throne room of God. Before we come to His feet and we just say, God, I don't have it together. I got a big mess. I don't know what to do with it. But I trust You. And God, I need You to bring me a miracle. And step by step, you'll start to see that miracle unfold. And I'm living in that now. I'm seeing God bringing miracles for me that I never thought were possible. And I'm going to keep on trusting Him until He makes it right. I'm going to to keep on trusting Him, that what He's doing is a good thing. And I believe that. God is making a miracle out of your mess. God is making it today. So today I invite you to worship with me. It might be a song of heartache, might be a song of pain, might be a song of gratitude. But I need you to sing as we sing together. You can come and pray if you'd like to pray. Sometimes you may feel like you're dragging your mess out to Jesus. That's okay too. That's okay too. You might only have enough strength to sit, but we need to bring God our mess. Allow Him to turn our mess into a miracle. And even though we can't see around the mess, we're going to follow Him through it all. We're going to follow Him. Normally I would have something special you could do in the response time, but I just think the rawness of the moment is enough. We don't need anything else but to come to Jesus. Just a song and an opportunity to respond to Him. Come and pray, come and worship in our mess. And let's believe for a miracle. Let's bring it to God today. Let's worship together. Why don't you stand with me? Come out and pray if you need to do that. Pray with each other. Share your messes. It's okay to do that. Share your messes today.